Let me just read those last couple of verses again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Again this morning, O Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in this week's edition of It's a We Thing, talking about community in the Christian context especially, I've got more questions than I do direction for you this morning. But hopefully, sometimes good questions are as instructive as directions that you might get. I was surprised by this. You know, when you set out for a sermon and you've got an idea, you think you're gonna ask a couple of questions in the beginning, but then by the end of it, you're gonna have a neat little package that you offer to everyone. So go home and try this, do these things. It's 3 points. You've got it, So this will focus on Jesus, no surprise, community, no surprise, and from today's gospel reading, rest, okay? But before, I want to start with just mentioning to those of you who may not or have read The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis before, or if you have read it, to recall to mind. So as we've been talking about community and what that's like, the coming together and the many ways that it feels that who I'll call the evil puppet master, that is Satan, divides us and is working behind the scenes worldwide to divide people and to keep us, it's kind of a bad version of Babel. The Tower of Babel. So instead of the Lord scattering in a righteous way, the evil one scattering and dividing for unholy purposes. So in the book, The Great Divorce, which is about basically the ultimate separation between heaven and hell and how they will grow forever distant from one another is a way to look at it. There's this gray town, which is kind of this place where people are at kind of the beginning of hell. They're there and they just keep moving further and further away from each other. And they find more and more reasons to fuss and go further out and go further out. And at the end of their travels of getting as far away from each other as they can, they can instantly build a house wherever they want. And so they'll go to the other side of the universe or the other side of this world, this gray town. At the end of it is when we're warned that, and when they are about as far apart from each other as they can possibly get, then the lights go out. And then the demons come out. And so that everyone is totally alone in this situation. And that sounds really hellish to me. It's even a little more concerning than the fire and the brimstone. Just that you could be that alone and at the torment of the demons. So just wanted to add that image because of how vital I think it is that we, especially as believers, draw together rather than find more and more reasons to separate. Because, they're out there. They're everywhere. Now, back to Jesus, community, and rest. Do you have space to rest in community? Is there space to rest in community? Is there a rest found in church community, our fellowship, our gathering together, our being, knowing one another, even when we're not directly together, knowing that we're part of this church family, is there a rest found in that? And specifically in our community, our church community, is there a rest in that? Or do we normally think of rest as simply an individual pursuit, something that we're responsible for? You know, so that's my big question that I really ended up with more and more and more questions about. So just to ask you and let you have a little bit of input, or a lot of input actually, if you'd like, is the body of Christ a place where we find rest? Or again, is rest just something that only an individual pursues and has responsibility for, their sense of rest? Or is there rest in the body of Christ? You've probably never been asked that question before. This is my specialty, you know. Why does he look at things like that? I don't know. So is there rest in the body of Christ? What do you think, Amy? What are you thinking? There should be, but it depends on how we care for each other. Okay? It's a good foray into this. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when there are just tons of activities, thanks Lori, that may require, distract you from doing other very important things, especially with regards to family or, yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Is the body of Christ a place of rest? Steph? Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's think of it as Jesus said it. Find rest for your souls. Now, whether that is connected to the mental and the physical or whatever, but rest for your souls, is that found in the body of Christ? And how? In what ways?
I think it
the health of the relationships within the church.
Yes.
Thank you, Pete Scazzaro. Yeah. Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, being at large, a healthy community helps those of us who at various times, maybe all of us at various times, are emotionally unhealthy and are desperate for rest for our weary souls. Okay.
It's restful when I come
here. It causes me to examine
myself and the things that we read.
Okay.
Just think about different things that I do during the week.
Okay. Awesome. So the things that we go through on a Sunday morning offered as worship to God, but also perhaps feeding us in different ways. Okay. Thanks, Leanne. Anybody else?
One of the things that wears me out is when I'm trying to do God's work and not mine, and the community can help me separate. And that's what I see in rest in me.
Yeah.
I'll be trying to do my job in yours.
Trying to overstep our responsibility in serving in such a way that we think we've got to cover the space that, God, you're not moving quick enough for me, so I'm going to jump in here. Yeah, yeah, totally. That happens all the time, but not to pastors ever. Okay. Now, we do tend to think of it, though, as an individual responsibility, rest, right? I've got to make sure I get my rest. Self-care. We tend to think of it that way. But I just want to push the thought a little more that what if rest is, or a large function of rest, is communal? I just think there's something there. So again, Matthew 11:28-29, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then Matthew 20:18, a little verse I'm going to throw in here. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, the church, his body, he will give us rest. He will give us rest. Then rest, if Jesus is present in the community and Jesus calls us to come to him and he will give us rest, then I think rest is an important component of community. Yet I've not seen this really modeled or brought out or taught about. And this is no weird thing leading to cult-like behavior. I don't think it's just, wow, how come we don't think like that? We think so individually about our rest experience in Jesus that we don't think of how ways that we can experience that together. Also, keep this in mind, that all of the yous in the second person pronoun are plural in this, in Matthew 11:28-29. Now, that's not like a revelation or anything, but we tend to think of it for ourselves. But what if Jesus said, come to me, all who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give y'all rest. Take my yoke upon y'all and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and y'all will find rest for your souls. Yeah. I don't think he said you guys. I don't think. Yeah. But that pronoun there is plural. So we know he's addressing, at least the disciples and probably some beyond that. But we don't tend to think of it. We tend to really personalize it. And that has a very good side, personalizing, understanding the scriptures that are for us, but not when it's at the disregard of what it means that it's y'all come to me who are heavy laden. I just kind of want to tease that out of there and pull that out. So, does rest only mean ceasing from activity? We tend to think of it that way, because usually we're so dang active that we just need, I just don't want to stop. I just want to veg. I just want to Netflix out or whatever it is, cease from activity. So what does come to me mean? Come to me and I will give you rest. Is that about ceasing from activity? Is that what Jesus says? Stop doing anything and I will give you rest. No, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. What does that mean? Oh, Vicki.
Wednesday morning with the women as they come to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rest.
So when y'all get together for coffee? Mm-hmm. Well, every Wednesday. This is a blurb celebrating that. It's restful to you. It's restorative, perhaps, to your soul in some way. And you are gathered in Jesus' name, and so you're coming to him, and you find rest in that fellowship and in the discussion. Oh, man, that seems to be zeroing in on something really important, doesn't it? Right. Sure. Yeah. Right. This is another good time to pick on Martha as opposed to Mary. Right? We pick on her because she's doing all this busy stuff when Jesus is visiting their home, just going at it. And Mary is just sitting at, she has come to Jesus and is sitting at his feet. And Jesus says, this is the better part. Yet, she's not doing nothing, but she's finding a rest and a restoration, a refreshment in his presence. Hmm. The actions of being a caring community, those actions are restful or restorative. Okay. So how does Jesus give us rest? I think we've kind of pulled in on that it's his presence that gives us rest. When his presence is what we're in, whether we're together or whether we're on our own, that seems to be a real clue to where that kind of rest for your weary souls is found, is in his presence. So when Jesus says, come unto me, that can mean, come unto me, all who labor heavy laden. When you read that verse, sometimes you might read it as salvation, right? That someone comes to Jesus and the lost person's humble prayer of repentance. Jesus is in that. Someone turns to him in repentance. There is no doubt, because I'm looking now for where can we be sure that Jesus is present? In what way? When do we know that for sure there's no doubt in our minds, theologically at least, and probably not experientially, that Jesus is in that. So salvation, the humble prayer of repentance. We know Jesus is in that. And by the way, today, if you have resisted trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today would be a great day to change that relationship and to move toward him. And I would love to talk to you about that. If that's something you'd like to talk about, please do. Anyway, so another place where I think we can be sure that when Jesus says, come unto me, that his presence is there, is in a believer's cry for help. So we have the sinner's prayer of humble repentance. Jesus is absolutely in that. I believe he is also in the His presence is in when a believer calls for help. We don't always get the help we think we should get, but is Jesus present in that? If he's not, wow, my goodness, what are we even doing? Absolutely, we can be assured of his presence in that. So turning to him in any situation. Can we also know or be assured that his presence is in worship, in spirit and truth? When we worship in spirit and truth, is he present? Absolutely. There's no doubt about this. So we know that there are some places where Jesus is absolutely present, and so that rest must be present in those things. Or possibly, as well, we can be assured that Jesus is present when we are gathered in his name for mission and worship and fellowship, and that in those things, rest is also present, because with Jesus comes a sense of rest. So it's not always a ceasing of activity, and neither it is found in an abundance of activity necessarily, that you're just doing lots, so God must be in it, you know. And again, is there rest for our weary souls in the church community where Jesus is present when we are gathered for those things? Maybe I'm overdoing it and emphasizing this a little too much, but it seemed so different to me that I just kind of want to push that a little bit. Yes? Couple spots, but yeah.
So he's a model for that. Not struggling, not striving. Just
even
his interactions with the guy at the end.
Peter? Caiaphas?
Pilate.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, this is great. Jesus is the healthiest person that ever lived. You can tell.
Just,
yeah. Yeah. He's present in that. Yeah. So, if Jesus is here right now, as we are gathered in his name, whether or not we can just palpably sense him, but if we know, Lord, that you are here in our midst right now, then the rest of Christ must also be present. But I think we can miss it if we show up without any expectation of that. Because how often do we go to something or attend something and we have no idea that someone we knew was there or something happened because we weren't looking for that, and so we missed it. That when we come into these moments together, whether it's at Woven, whether it's at men's breakfast, whether it's in youth group, whether it's in our gathered worship time or small groups, when we know that, okay, Jesus is there, we're gathered in his name, and with the presence of Jesus comes a certain rest. And to look for that and listen for that and feel for that and test it and see if he is not granted a sense of rest for you. Come to me and I will give you rest. Or do we not even know how to how to observe or experience rest anymore because of the frenzy of our culture and activities. Absolute frenzy of busyness. And I know we've talked about that before, about the hurry and the busy, and we'll talk about it again. But I think that's one of the things that is a blinder for us to be able to know, wow, I've experienced a sense of rest in the presence of Jesus. But you might miss it, even though it's there, unless you're looking for it. So I know it's a tall order to ask when you come into church and experience something, whether it's woven, whether it's here, maybe especially here. When you get here, you're happy to get here, even close to 9 o'clock, you know, and then you're, think about vacation. How many days does it take when you go on a vacation before you wind down a little bit? Three. Normally 3 days. And we're expecting in this moment when we walk in these doors for the holy to be so thick, you know. I mean, sometimes that happens. Sometimes, but that's asking a lot. I know that. That's why that little field guide for worship at the Vine mentions about prepping a little bit ahead of time so that you can get more. That sounds awful. So consumeristic. Get more. So that you can... so that you can enter into the rest of Jesus and the other blessings that he has as well, and not miss them, because it is hard. And you'll leave from here and you'll be all revved up for what's next if you have a lot going on, you know? An early church father, his name was Tertullian, which is a fun name. I wonder if he looked like a turtle. He wrote in the late second century, as he was making observations about the church and about how culture and the church interacted at that time, that he noticed, Tertullian wrote, that non-believers would observe the fast-growing community of Jesus followers, and they would say, the non-believers would say of the believers, see how they love one another. And that was like, that's been used for centuries as, wow, that's a characterizing mark of the church for sure. That those around us, those noticing Christians, would say, wow, see how they love one another. And I just wonder if a corollary, especially for this day and age of soul-wearying busyness and activity, that if the community around us who observes believers would say, see how they are refreshed by being together. See how they seem rested and healthy as individuals. That may be a greater calling card for a generation of folks who are looking desperately for a way off the hamster wheel that it feels like we're usually caught on. I would like to talk another time about what would that actually look like? They're observing us. But in the small things that we can do here now, I believe it is present. Rest is present in this place, even though we might not feel like it. But if we have eyes to see and ears to hear and spirits open to receiving it, hearts that will notice, wow, I can enter into the rest of Jesus, find rest for my soul when I come into his presence in the community of fellow believers. Let me pray with me.